I pulled down on that road, and there was a boy and a girl and a doubting Thomas. And I stopped. The girl got in the back seat, and the guy sat down by me, and this was the words that came out of his mouth. He said, "I'm not a Catholic." I said, "What in God's name did you say that for?" He says, "I don't know. That's the dumbest thing I ever said." So I took off down the road, and I began to tell them why I'd stopped. So I start telling the guy and the girl why I stopped, and the end result was I found out she was Catholic. He was a Baptist, and they had got married and had to run away from home to do it, and their car, they had a car, and it had been stolen. So here they were on the side of the road. And the end result was them. I took them to Tallahassee, and I got them to call their folks and tell them where they were and offered to do a lot of other things, but that's all I could do for them. But my whole day was a different day than I'd spent my whole life. And I don't think it's relevant here, but I just had some things happen during that day that were just really got my attention. Let me tell you one of the things that did happen. When I got through with that young couple and I walked into my office, the person that had asked me to go on the Crucio called me. And he says, "David, I need to see you right now." He owned a wholesale grocery business. And so I said, "I'll come." I got in my car, rode down to his office. I walked in his office. And when I did, he says, "I don't know whether I believe in God or not." That's the first words he said to me. "I don't know whether I believe in God or not." And I said, "George, you picked one hell of a day to tell me that." "I do." And so me and him had a talk. And I mean, we had a talk. And when we were all through, he was believing. And we went to walk out of the store. It was lunchtime. We went to walk out of the store, and he said to me, "Where were you when I called you?" I said, "George, as the phone rang, I unlocked my door." He says, "And do you know, I was at my car when something said, 'You better call David. You need some help.'" So anyway, those things are important to the receiver. All of you in here got some kind of stories like that that you know if you stood up here and told them, as people say, "Well, you're foolish. You're crazy." This is the way God works with us. Don't deny this. But he didn't do all of that for me to tell you. That's why I said I could care less whether this is recorded. All of this was done for me. I'm just sharing a part of my life with you, letting you know that these little things that God does in your life that indelibly imprints him in you are oh so important. Because God reveals himself in the mode of the receiver. They're important. It was just a very short time after that. This same guy calls me up and says, "I want you to go to a charismatic conference with me." I said, "Well, let's go." Man, I'd do anything. I was hunting. So I went. And that's where I met Charlie. It was the first charismatic conference in this diocese. And I watched Charlie got up there and opened this document. Now, I'm in real confusion in the church, folks. I've got some real powerful things going on in my life. And I'm all excited, and everybody around me's ho-hum, it's mass time again, let's go. We walk out of the house, and the kids are fighting with each other, and the wife's fighting with the kids to go to mass. And I'm saying, "Praise be to God, let's go to church." You know, I'm all excited. And they're fighting with each other. "Oh, y'all, you wore the wrong dress. You wore the wrong dress." My God, what's going on? And I get to church, and it's the same way. We walk out of church, and one of the guys about to run over another, and, "Baby, what are you doing?" And I'm saying, "Glory to God," you know. And I'm, boy, this church is a mess. You know, I'm going to tell you, my old heart was just, God was sitting there doing it like that. You know, just getting it soft. And I look around at me and the pastor's fighting. You know, I'm on parish council and things like this. And we walk into a parish, I remember this one. Here I am, boy, I'm in on fire. Walk into a parish council meeting and the pastor said, the bishop has asked, we got a teacher here that teaches it at Catholic High here in Pensacola, and this involves them. Our pastor said, the bishop has asked if every church would give Catholic High $1,000. They're broke and in serious trouble. And the president of our parish council said, what the hell have they ever given us? I'm not forgiving them $1,000. I don't give them nothing. Just tore up my Vatican II book. Any of y'all sit on parish councils and listen to that kind of stuff? If you ever been on a parish council, you do. And I want to tell you folks, it was voted down real quick and they wasn't no $1,000 spent. And we had $500,000 in the bank. Sending them any money. I hadn't ever done anything for us. So I'm having a problem with this kind of church. Can you imagine? And I had been involved in it. I'd run the school board and the parish council. I knew what went on. So one of the things I did, I began to look for the perfect church. Searching. Praying, oh God, praying hard. Where's it at, Lord? One day I sat in my office and I leaned back in my big old easy chair and I said, Lord, show me the perfect church. He said, David, if you found it, they wouldn't let you in it. I said, oh, God. I said, oh, no. I knew that was the truth. My God, what am I doing looking for the perfect church? Any of you ever look for the perfect church? Well, I won't tell you what. You couldn't get in it if you found it. It reminds me of the story of the school teacher that asked the class if all bad people were black and all good people were white, what color would you be, Linda? And the little girl said, streaky. And I sat down in the church pew one day and I heard the prayer. You know, forgive us sinners for what we've done, what we failed to do. And I said, yeah, this is my church. So anyway, I tell the guy, yeah, I'll go to that thing with you. So we go over there and they're jumping around and hollering and going crazy. And shoot, I was all for that, man. I was full of joy. And Charlie gets up there and opens this document to the portion on the lay people, and he began to read things out of it. And folks, I went nuttier than a fruitcake. I could hardly stay in my seat because the very things that I was looking at the church and saying, what's the matter? He was reading in there that's what you should be doing. And I was saying, thanks be to God, it's not me, it's them. I've got a purpose. That's what I heard. Matter of fact, when he finished, the girl sitting by me, who was the wife of the man that had invited me, I said, Ruth, would you go into that bookshop and see if they got any more of those books? And she bought the last book in there for me. And when Charlie finished, I headed straight to that stage, and I went up there and I said, Mister, would you underline everything that you read to me in that book? And Hilda got the dirty work. He handed it to Hilda, and Hilda underlined it. I still got that book, but it's just, and she underlined all those words. And I read this book. Now, you remember where David was, and you remember what was being prepared when I said, Lord, do you have anything for me to do? Yes, but you got to wait. Vatican Council II was starting when I was laying out there crying that. What, didn't know a Catholic. And here I find myself in the Catholic Church saying, what's the matter? And a guy sits up and reads what the church says I ought to be doing. And I said, bless God, I'm ready, let's go. God reveals himself in the mode of the receiver. And folks, I've not ever slowed down. I mean, you talk about changing your mind and turning around and starting to walk away from that towards something else. I did that. And that's why I stand here. And I'll tell you what I've, in those 9 short years, I wouldn't trade what's happened to me for that back there for nothing. I hear people say, well, if I could just live my life over, man, I wouldn't go through that stuff for nothing. I want to live my life over. Man, I just like the way it's been going. I'll tell you what, that was in October. 5 months after that was underlined, I was the president of the ministry, and I'm incorporating this into... And I've heard Charlie stand and say, and you should take this with a grain of salt. I heard him say many times, there's the only guy that ever heard what I said. There was 1,000 people at that conference, and I was probably the only guy heard what was read in there. Not only that, God had it read for me. Isn't that absolutely amazing? That's our God. He brought all that stuff together where somebody'd stand over and read that for little old David to hear. That little Jewish lady, he brought her into the world so that she could say to me, will I embarrass you if I ask you to pray with me? That's why I'm here. I was trying to think how long ago was it though I joined the church. I'm going to tell you about me joining the church. See, I went to instructions, I went to all kind of things and looking for answers. And y'all, can you imagine? See, you people that were born with parents in this church don't know nothing. You ought to make a decision to join it. Do you know what? I bet you there wouldn't be one other person in here in this church. Y'all were born there, folks. Most of you were born in the Roman Catholic Church. It's never been a choice. You were just there. I chose it. I looked at all of them, folks. There's not many people can say that. And it wasn't an easy choice because I had to really come face to face to me. You know, first of all, admit that if I was looking for the perfect church, they wouldn't let me in it. Let me tell you about joining. And I did it right in this diocese, folks. All this is done right here where old David still hangs around and all these people put up with me and... the very pastor that baptized me, I go any place in this world and they can say, we'd like a letter from your pastor to know how you stand with the church, and you should read the letters he writes them. I mean, he'll write a letter that I'm ashamed to read it, trying to get me in places to speak. And he don't speak like me at all. But he sure is interested. He's the same guy that paid to put me on TV in my hometown. One of those Irish Catholic priests. one of my best friends. But anyway, I got to the place where I knew that it was time to do something. I don't know why I knew, but I just knew. And I'll never forget going to... How many of you in here know Father Cregan? Father Cregan was a chaplain over at Rayford, and it got the best of him, and so he came to Tallahassee as an associate pastor, and I got to be real good friends with Father Cregan, maybe because I saw the weakness in me and him. But anyway, we got to be real good friends, so I went to Father Cregan one day, and I said, "Father Cregan," now, never forget, I pulled up outside of the rectory, and I prayed. I said, "Lord, if you don't want me in this church, there is no way I can get in it. But with all of my heart, I believe you do. I don't understand it." So I parked out there, and I prayed that prayer. I walked in. Me and Father Cregan sat down and started talking. I said, "Father Cregan, what do I have to do to become a Catholic?" He said, "What do you think about purgatory?" I said, "Nothing. I've never thought about it." I didn't know what, folks, I didn't have anything else to say. "What do you think about purgatory?" I said, "Nothing. I don't think about it." So he reached behind himself off of a big bookshelf and pulled out a book that thick. Roll that sucker open to purgatory. Checked a couple of pages, just take that home and read it. I walked out to my car and I said, "Thank you, God, I knew. You don't want me in that church, I can't get in it." That's just exactly the way I walked out. Isn't that the dumbest thing to ever ask a guy? He says, "What I got to do, join church?" He said, "What do you think about purgatory?" So I just, I began to look at everybody like it was God speaking to me. And they said something. I went home and I read the book. And I thought, well, that's the end of that. The church don't even talk about purgatory anymore, folks. But, I'm not here to... I read what he gave me to read. And I said, well, I still don't have an answer. So I didn't go back. A couple of months passed. And folks, let me tell you what. I don't want anybody in here to get hung up in purgatory. Don't you get mad at God if there is one. And don't you get mad at him if there isn't. And it's not going to hurt anybody in here to be praying for somebody that's already gone. That ain't going to do nothing but help you. So, I'm not even here to talk about that. But anyway... I just think it was one of the funniest things to be thrown at me. Can you imagine? Would that be the question if somebody asked you, "Sister Annie, what do I got to do to become a Catholic?" Would the first words out of your mouth be, "What do you think about purgatory?"
No way.
But that's the way it happened. And it was for a purpose. So I didn't go back. I kept on with my activities, and I'd see Father Cregan all the time. And one day he walked up to me and says, "When are you going to come back and talk to me?" And I said, "Whenever you want me to." He said, "Well, how about Tuesday?" So Tuesday, I went back. I sat out in front of the rectory again, prayed the same prayer. "Here I am again, Lord Jesus." "I'm in your hands." I walked into... Now, you got to remember, I went through a lot of instruction before this, folks. I've been through... So anyway, I walk, and I know the church backwards and forwards. I've gone to it for 15 years now. So I walk in again, and Father Cregan says, "Are you ready for us, David?" Different question. I'm all worried about the other question. And I said, "Father, that's not the question. Are you ready for me?" That's exactly what I said to him. I said, "Father, it's not a question of whether I'm ready for you. I came. The question is, are you ready for me?" He says, "Well, what do you think about the creed?" I said, I believe every word of it. He said, well, we're ready for it. Well, I mean, you know, from darkness to light all of a sudden. Then he said something peculiar to me. He says, David, when would you like to do this? And is there anything special that you would ask for? That kind of caught my attention. I said, anything special? I said, Father, would you baptize me by immersion? He said, you've never been baptized? I said, nope, never belonged to a church, Father. I said, but now you don't have to baptize me by immersion, Father. You just asked me the question. That's the only thing I could think of. He said, I want to. I was baptized into this church by immersion. Isn't that something? Folks, that didn't... You know, I want to tell you something. The baptism that counted to David had already happened. I'd had something happen in my life. Father Cregan said, I want to do it. And I was. That's just the way I was baptized. Now, I was telling you about being out in Texas and doing the film with Bishop Grasita. Bishop Grasita, as we're, you know, he starts leveling with me about what a thorn in his side I was as I was showing my, you know, the way I knew to run things, power, you know. And I said, Bishop, did you ever hear about how I came into the church? He said, no. He said, do you know, I said, Bishop, do you know I was baptized by immersion in your diocese? He said, you were. Any of you that know Bishop Grasita, that man has never lost his composure except then. I mean, it's... Oh, no, isn't that the way... I said that, and he said, you what? Oh, I said, I'm sorry, Bishop. If you don't want that on this tape, we'll take it out. He says, I wouldn't take it out for nothing. But wonders never cease to amaze me. Father Cregan said to me, when I baptized you, David, I thought we were going to all be slain in the spirit and drowned. That's what he says, I expected it was done in a swimming pool. He said, I expected something to happen. We're all going to drown right there. Oh, I look back. You know, I really think of some people that were really... And people that you know in this diocese that were really good to me. Because you got to... Maybe, I don't know, maybe God made me with just the strongest craw in the world. And things didn't bother me. But I had some real good people in the church that became real good friends of mine. And they were always so kind to me. Can you imagine here when Father Cregan, I tell him I've never been baptized, I can see running through his mind, my God, this guy's nearly run the church over here. He's never even had original sin run away. He did. He nearly fainted when I told him I'd never been baptized. You mean you're reading in the lectern and you've never been baptized? You're standing up there in the holy ground. You know, I hadn't. I got baptized at 40-something. I guess that was about 6 years ago. Yeah. 6 years ago in March a year ago, this convert Catholic was invited to speak to the Gregorian Institute in Rome. Folks, don't you ever question what God can do. And I didn't ask to go. I've never done one thing to provoke me. Not one thing. And one Sunday night, I'm sitting at home. First of all, I got a call from a priest over there and said, could you send me a videotape? I said, yeah. So I sent him a videotape. And one Sunday night, I got a call from who's the new head of the Charismatic Renewal of the World after Father Tom Forrest? No, it's not an Indian priest. He's an American. But anyway, I can't remember his name right off my head right now. Sunday night, I get a telephone call. He said, would you come over here to Rome and speak to the Gregorian Institute? I said, what? Folks, y'all know what the Gregorian Institute is? That's the Jesuit school in Rome. I thought, oh, God, those folks will run me. There's more. I stood up there and spoke to people that have more knowledge crammed in their head than I would ever get in 13 lifetimes. But I'll tell you something that I really learned that more and more has imprinted my life is you'll never think yourself into acting right. You got to act yourself into thinking right. Now, if you want to write a note down, you write that down. You will never think yourself into acting right. You must act yourself into thinking right. This is our problem. We learn as little children to act like all the people around us. And if you're ever going to change the way you're thinking, you're going to have to start acting differently. And all I did was I got there and I stood up to talk to these people and I talked to them about how I'd started acting and how it had changed my thinking and how my thinking was more and more conformed to being like Christ. I talked to them about the very same things I've stood here and talked to you about loving our enemies. Loving is the willingness to suffer without the desire to get even. I'll never forget we had mass after one of these sessions, and it absolutely amazed me how this priest used those words. He must have used them 20 times during mass. Us to be willing to suffer without the desire to get even, as our Lord Jesus taught. So, isn't it amazing what God can do? See, you and I, the only thing that we're called to do is to be faithful. You don't have to work anything out. You don't have to get perfect before God will do things through you. And I stand up here and speak to you. All I ask God is that He would help me to be an instrument, a vessel of His. I just thank God that He would even let me stand here and do this. Because, folks, I'm probably worse than most of you here. I don't know. I don't live in your skin. But I know what I battle with in my life. And that's really the difference between me now and 15 years ago. There wasn't a battle going on. I was just agreeing with it and going at it. There's a battle goes on today. And I do know that I've changed because I can look back over 9 years, and there's some instances in which I don't react like I used to. I don't think you could get me in an argument here with you. 15 years ago, I hadn't argued with you till I turned blue in the face and died. Ugh. Isn't God good?
Amen.
I can relate to, I think it was Jeremiah that said, Lord, you have duped me. if God had ever shown me what saying, "Lord, I'll do anything you say," what it led to, I could have never spoke those words. But you know what? It hadn't been near as hard as it would have looked. Matter of fact, I told you I wouldn't trade it for anything. I don't want the way to change. I just would like God to continue to help me to desire.